when you come to a railroad crossing, what are you supposed to do? Does anybody remember from school what you're supposed to do? Stop, look, and listen. And why are we supposed to stop, look, and listen? So we don't get run over by a train, right? We need to figure out if a train is coming, if there is danger ahead. I remember that phrase from my childhood. Stop, look, and listen is what we were taught in school and what we're taught how to be safe on the roads. When we're riding our bikes to school or anytime we're walking or biking, if we cross a road, we're supposed to stop, look, and listen. We live in a world of business, work, errands, commitments, exercise, household, and relational demands, and entertainment. From the rising of the sun until the evening lights are dimmed, we are busy. Our cultural tendencies towards business impact our lives in various ways, including our ability to know and how to hear God. And all too often, we slot brief prayers in between activities while quietly wondering why God sometimes seems distant or possibly even disinterested in the things that we bring before him. Now this morning I want to examine some of those key points of stop, look, and listen, and I'm going to add a fourth one in there as well. The fourth one that I believe we need to do in order to hear God is we need to be able to write those things down. And if we apply these four principles into our lives, we'll be better equipped to hear God's voice and then be able to act upon what he tells us to do. Now, before we dive into the passage that I want to share with you this morning, let's examine some biblical examples where we can see this process in action. In Exodus 3, 1 through 5, we can see Moses in these actions. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and beheld, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Now, in verse 3 it says, Moses said, I will now turn aside. So that's something caught his attention, so he stopped. And then the next part says, and see this great sight. So if he saw, he was looking, right? Why this bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, once again he stopped, God called to him from the midst of the bush. So that's God called to him. He was listening for God at that time. So we can see that example of stop, look, and listen in that passage. We move to the New Testament, we can look at Peter in Acts 11, 5 through 7. It says this, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. So we can see Peter praying. So he stopped what he was doing and was praying to God. And then later in verse 5 it says, I saw a vision. So he was looking, he saw. And in verse 7 it says, I heard a voice. So he was listening for God to speak to him. Now my final example I want to share with you this morning, we can see in Jesus' life. Now, I don't have a specific verse where all three of those come together. But we can see in the New Testament where Jesus did these exact same things. In Matthew 14, 23, it tells us this. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. So Jesus went to pray alone. He secluded himself. He went to his prayer closet. He went away by himself to pray. In John 5:19, it tells us this. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So he saw, he was looking, he saw what the Father did. He was looking to the Father. He was looking. And finally in John 8:26, it tells us this. "I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the word those things which I heard from him." So he's listening. He heard from the Father. And he only did those things what the Father told him to do. So he was able to listen to the Father. Now there are several other passages and examples that we can find throughout the scriptures. I just wanted to share with those with you this morning. Now I want to focus in on one passage this morning and do a deeper dive into that one. Now this passage we often think of more when we talk about church vision. But if we examine it more closely, we can see how the vision came to pass. And that comes from Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it." Now Habakkuk was a prophet living in precarious times. He probably lived around in Jerusalem sometime around 608 to 598 BC. Now, and some biblical scholars have compared this period that is something like living in Poland in the 1930s and watching as Hitler rearmed Germany. Or in Hungary in 1956 as the USSR massed its forces on the border. It means he lived in a city that was under the power of one foreign nation, which was Egypt, and watching as a greater power, Babylon, prepared to invade. He saw the power of the strong enemy and the suffering of nations that fell into the power, and he dared to ask God the tough questions, beginning with a serious complaint that God wasn't listening. Let's look back at Habakkuk 1:1-4. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. Injustice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Does that sound like some times we might be living in today? You can't get much blunter than that as he complains about the lack of law enforcement and the perversion of justice. Here's what we do know about Habakkuk. He was frustrated. Habakkuk was frustrated with his country. Why had they turned from the Lord? And on top of this, he was frustrated that God seemed to be slow to respond. Where was God at this time? The rest of Habakkuk 1 is God answering Habakkuk and then him lodging a second complaint to God. Chapter 2 is where I want to spend most of the rest of this morning focusing in on. I believe we can see clearly here the principle of stop, look, and listen. Let's look at this passage once again before we move on. Habakkuk 2:1-2. "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it." The first principle is stop. We need to become still. Verse 1 we see, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts." This means he quieted himself down to listen and to hear. Habakkuk said that he needed to stand at his guard post or his watchtower in order to focus on the Lord's reply. A watchtower would have been posted on a high wall to see out over the region for oncoming enemy attacks. This was a quiet place for him. To us, this represents our quiet place or our prayer closet. The principle from this verse is this: I must learn to still my own thoughts and emotions so that I can sense God's flow of thoughts and emotions within me. It's good to set time aside regularly, daily, preferably, to quiet ourselves. For me, the best time comes first thing in the morning. I know that we're all wired differently, but morning seems to be a good time because the phone isn't ringing, there are fewer distractions, and things normally seem to be the quietest. That's where we can connect with the Holy Spirit within us, coming to a place of peace, quiet, calm, and rest. We live in a world of noise. Almost everywhere we go, we find sounds competing for our minds, keeping us from letting our thoughts get below the surface level. Hearing God's voice means not listening to the noise of the world around us. It's not easy, but it can be done. Psalms 37:7 tells us this: Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I can't tell you what exactly will work for you to still yourself before God. God has made each one of us unique and different. This may seem odd to some of you, but some of the most intimate times I've had with the Lord is in the car. I used to drive after work to take evening classes working on my engineering degree, and I also traveled to Chicago for work sometimes. For me, it's just being alone with little or no distractions. Now, downtown Chicago, that's not the case. But the drive there on 94 is pretty lonely sometimes. I can either put on some praise and worship music, or sometimes I listen to other messages. Honestly, I've been driving down the road with tears streaming down my face as God begins to speak to me in different ways. And many times the messages that I share with you come out of those times driving to Chicago. The point is that we need to get away from everything else. What that looks like for you, I'm not really sure. But whatever it looks like, you need to get to that place that works for you individually. It may mean getting up before everyone else as your day starts to get that time. It may mean taking your lunch break away from work and going out for a walk. Whatever it might be, you just need to get to that place. It's very important that we become still and properly focused if we're going to receive the pure word of God. If we are not still, we will simply be receiving our own thoughts. If you are not properly focused on Jesus, we may receive an impure flow, because the intuitive flow comes out of that upon which we have fixed our eyes on. Therefore, if we fix our eyes upon Jesus, the flow comes from Jesus. If we fix our gaze upon our desires of our heart, then the flow comes out of the desires of our heart. To have that pure flow, we must first of all become still. And secondly, we must be able to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Which brings me to the second part, which is look. We need to look for vision. Verse 1 again continues. It says, I will look to see. After Habakkuk settled into his quiet place or his guard post, notice what he did next. He said, I will look to see. What was he looking at? Habakkuk fixed his spiritual eyes upon the Lord. As we come to that place of stillness, praying, we are then to fix our eyes upon the heart of Jesus. It's critically important that we fix our gaze on Jesus coming into his presence. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what does Jesus look like to you? Do you envision him wearing a white robe and sandals? Maybe you see him more in modern day clothes. Whatever that is, you need to set your spiritual eyes within your heart upon him, because he is always there with us. Envision him sitting next to you as you are coming into that quiet place. Colossians 3:1-2 Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to set our heart and minds on Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul also teaches us to fix our eyes on what is unseen. So how do we do that? How do you see what is unseen? We need to practice just what Habakkuk did. Fix our spiritual eyes on the reality of Jesus being right there with us. So throughout your day, not just in our quiet time, we need to set our spiritual eyes on the vision of Jesus. Habakkuk was actually looking for vision as he prayed. He opened the eyes of his heart and looked into the spiritual dimension to see what God wanted to show him. I find it very interesting that Habakkuk was actually going to start looking for vision as he prayed. He was going to open the eyes of his heart and look into the spiritual realm to see what God wanted to show him. Have you really ever thought about opening the eyes of your heart and looking for vision? Isn't that really what God intends for us to do? He gave us eyes in our hearts. They are to be used to see into the spiritual realm and see the vision and movement of the Almighty God. Really, there is no reason for us not to see it, other than our rational culture, which tells us there's nothing there to see. There's nothing there to believe for. It also, really, in the Bible, there's no specific instructions how to see in the spiritual realm. So we just need to, sometimes we just need to close our eyes and focus on Jesus, and he'll show us what we need to see. The most obvious prerequisite to seeing is that we need to look. Daniel was seeing a vision in his mind when he said in Daniel 7, I was looking, I kept looking, and I kept looking. Now as we pray, we need to look for Jesus present with us. We need to watch him as he speaks to us, doing and saying the things that are on his heart. Many Christians will find that if they only look, then they'll be able to see. One of the names of Jesus is Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Sometimes this really is just that simple. You may see a spontaneous inner vision in a manner similar to receiving a spontaneous inner thought. You may see Christ present with you in a comfortable setting because, really, Christ is present with us. Now, this is something that I have done when praying for a specific situation. I picture in my mind the outcome of what I'm praying for. If I'm praying for healing, I picture that person already healed. Even more, I pictured God's hand coming down from heaven and touching whatever specific part that person may need healing for. Maybe you need a financial blessing. Picture what that would look like when that blessing happens. I encourage you to picture whatever promise God has showed you, and then when he reveals it to you, you can say, yes, God, that's what I need from you. And then he's showing it to you, and then you can say, yes, I receive it in Jesus' name. So many of you who were here last week know about Stephen Largy. Karen and I went to go see him Friday at the hospital. That's exactly what I did when we were praying for him. I don't know if he was conscious or not, or if he heard anything we prayed for him, but God heard. And that's what, you know, as I was praying for him and for his wife Sue, and I was just picturing God's hand coming in inside his body and touching his heart. I tell you, looking at him in the physical realm right now is not easy. He's in rough shape. He's got tubes and everything else that you can look at with your natural eyes. But, you know, we're continuing to believe a spiritual healing for his body and his heart.
Amen.
You know, so it's sometimes you just got to like shut everything else out and just focus in on that. You know, I don't know how else that you just, it's your mind's eye, it's your spiritual eye. You just need to focus in on what God is showing you at that time. Amen. The third thing that Habakkuk did was he listened. We need to be able to recognize God's voice. As we continue in verse 1, it says, what he will say to me. So far, Habakkuk came to a place of stillness in his thoughts and emotions. Fixed the eyes of his heart on the Lord. The next thing he did was watch what the Lord would speak to him. He's looking at the Lord and then hearing what the Lord is saying. When we connect with the Spirit, eyes on Jesus, we then listen to his voice flowing in spontaneous thoughts. God's inner voice comes to us, I believe, sometimes as spontaneous thoughts, visions, feelings, or impressions that enter into our mind. Habakkuk recognized God's voice. Elijah described it as a still, small voice. Sometimes we want to listen for an audible voice, and surely God does that and has done that at certain times. However, I found that most of the time, God's inner voice comes to us as a spontaneous thought or a vision or an impression or a feeling we may get. For example, have you had the experience of driving down the road and having the thought come to you that you need to pray for somebody specific at that time? Many times we acknowledge that to be the voice of God calling us to pray for that individual. So we need to ask ourselves, what did God's voice sound like when we were driving and we heard that? Did we hear an audible voice? Sometimes we might. Sometimes it just comes in as a thought. We need to do this. The Holy Spirit speaking to us. We need to stop here and pray for that person. We see that person in the grocery store who may be having a rough time. I need to go speak to that person. You know, I forgot his name. Pastor Carl, when he was here, you know, he talked to that guy on the airplane. Yeah, it was just a spiritual prompting. You know, I need to talk to this guy. You know, we can ignore those thoughts as they come in. But, if we obey when the Holy Spirit prompts us, when God speaks to us in that way, then the blessing is not only ours, but for the other individual. So what is an inner audible voice? Or was it a spontaneous thought that enters your mind? So guess what? I believe many of us have already heard God speak to us. Ask yourself if you ever heard or used a phrase similar to any of these. I just felt impressed to go a different way home, and I was there just in time to whatever that might have been. For some reason, people always pour their life story out to me, and I seem to have just the encouragement they need when they need it. I was driving down the road, and a person came to mind out of the blue. I felt the need to pray for them. I felt the need to leave a few minutes earlier than normal, and I missed that huge traffic jam. I prayed about a difficult situation and then suddenly felt peace about it, knowing that the Lord was in control. I don't know how, but I knew the answer to something, and I haven't even studied it. As I read my Bible, the scripture just sort of jumped off the page at me. I've been thinking about it all day. What a coincidence. I ran into that person just when I needed their advice. The key is to remain in faith instead of immediately questioning, is that me? Or is that God? Or is that the pizza I had last night? This is where doubt comes in and will shut off the flow of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13 says that when we ask the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit, we get the Holy Spirit every single time. We need to begin in faith, and we need to remain in faith. Now, the fourth thing that I have added is writing. You know, we need to stop, look, and listen. We all remember that from when we were kids at school, maybe. But the fourth one I added in is writing, journaling. Because in verse 2 it says this, "Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation. God told Habakkuk to record the vision and describe it on tablets. If you begin to search the scriptures for this idea, you will find many chapters demonstrating the Psalms." David wrote down many of the Psalms. Many of the prophetic books are the prophets actually writing down what God revealed to them. And Revelation was the revelation that came to Paul. Recording what you prayed about and what God said or did is a helpful way to be watchful so that we can be thankful for what God has done. Most of what God has said to us can be easily forgotten if we don't write it down. And much of the details can be lost even if we do remember the main idea. So in other words, as Habakkuk turned to the flow of the Holy Spirit within, with his focus on the Lord, he began to write out what he heard the Lord saying to him as a response in prayer. The principle is to write out our prayers and then record God's response. Now, if I'm honest with you this morning, this really has always been a challenge for me. I am not a journaler. However, the first time we went to Nicaragua, I made the effort every day to write down the events and the things that I saw. I've often gone back to those things I have experienced the first time that I was there, as we have gone back again. And just because I am who I am, I hardly ever use a pen and paper anymore. I've moved to the more technical realm. For me, I find that it works better to either use a tablet or a computer to write with. I can type faster than I can write with a pen. But whatever works for you. I just encourage you to write down the thoughts, visions, and dreams that the Lord gives to you. The one thing I have also done that I will also encourage you to do is to write down any prophetic words that are spoken over you. I have had several prophetic words spoken over me the past several years, and I always make it a point to write those down. If you can try to write down as much as you can remember shortly after the word is spoken to you. Our own thoughts can begin to creep in and begin to alter the original word that was spoken. It is also very useful to refer back to at a later date. Several times I've had words spoken to me that were almost identical to the word that had been given in the past. If I had not written them down in the past, I would not be able to go back and refer to those other words that had been spoken. I believe another aspect of writing those things down that God gives us is that we should have them tested. Because God will never contradict his word. Proverbs 19:20 tells us this. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. So we need to listen to advice of wise counsel. There are many different voices that we can hear. And we need to make sure that the voice that we are hearing truly is coming from God. Because our own mind can come in there and think, well, this would be good. That's always why it's good to have those words tested. 1 Thessalonians 5, 20-22 tells us this. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. By writing them down, we can bring them to other godly people and have them tested. God's truth is consistent. He's not going to tell you one thing in the Bible and then tell you something different in prophetic word or vision. And finally, in 1 John 4:1, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." It's possible to hear other voices, our own thoughts and desires, the voice of the enemy, and they may sound good at the time. That is just another aspect of why writing down what you hear from God is important. So as I close this morning, I encourage you to remember the railroad crossing. Stop, look, and listen, and also write. Will you please stand with me this morning? I really kind of debated how to end this message. Many of you might know, I just want to share this. I did get permission to share this. And this touches close to home for me. Many of you know Wayne and Roberta. Pastor Scott actually called me. Actually, he texted me Friday night and I talked to him yesterday. Roberta's daughter's son was killed in an automobile accident on Friday night. It's been on the news. It was over in Wayland. He was riding his bike. He was only 4 years old. He was riding his bike in a trailer park over there, and a delivery driver was making a stop in the park there and hit him on his bike. I don't know many of the details. I think we just need to pray for them this morning. I was going to kind of end the message and just kind of sit here in silence and let God speak to us. That just really hit home for me this week when I heard that. Pastor Scott talked to me and asked, you know, if Karen and I would be willing to go over there and talk to them at some point. You know, just pray for that opportunity. I don't know where they're at spiritually. We don't know anything. We just know that they're going through the same thing that Karen and I went through many years ago. Pastor Scott also asked me that we would pray for him because they've asked him to do the funeral for them. And he was there for us when Tyler passed away. And it's bringing back a lot of memories for them too. This is not going to be easy for them either to do this. So I just want to read a couple more scriptures. Just as we need to hear from God, we need to be able to hear his voice. And a couple scriptures from the Psalms I thought really were a good close to this message this morning. And these actually come from the Message Bible. It says, I hear this most gentle whisper from the one I never guessed would speak to me. In Psalms 55, 2 and 3 says this, open your ears, God, to my prayer. Don't pretend you don't hear me knocking. Come close and whisper your answer. I really need you. How many really need a whisper from God this morning? Amen. So I'm just going to close in prayer and pray for them this morning. If you want to stay and pray, and if this is an opportunity for you to get into your prayer closet and just in this quiet time here this morning, if you just want to stay and pray and stop, look, and listen, that's perfectly acceptable. You know, I'll be here as long as anybody wants to be here this morning. Amen. I just want to pray for Wayne and Roberta and her daughter and the family as we close this morning.